Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner. How was that, Pete? Big Pete?
Big Pete. Yeah. And it is subtitled The Ayrsy Show, isn't it?
Oh, we've got a... That's first thing is thank you very much, Aaron Ayres, for the bottles of wine that I've delivered up here to Rick this morning.
Absolutely legendary. Can you... Absolutely.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, that's right. There's no need to stop now. So how's the Lawn Bowls travelling?
Going well. I had the week off the week before, obviously, because Country Carnival was on, Rick, and I've just got a few little Bros and Light boys that have gone through to rounds other than just the minor rounds.
Yes.
Today we have John O'Voigt from Angaston Bowling Club playing in the pairs.
Oh, right.
And the single semi-final.
Cool.
So he's playing with Wayne Collins from Wakery in the pairs. So they go into the semis. And then he plays Peter Gaglia in the Gags in the single semi-final. So he's flat out down at Marion today.
Well, thank heavens the climatic conditions will be all right today.
Yeah, they played right through yesterday. Oh. And I'll get on to more about that.
Obviously, they don't have a hot weather policy.
They do. Over 37 or over 38 or something.
Well, it's only about 43 here.
41 or 42, yeah. Okay. The other team of Larry Swanson, L. Edwards, sorry, don't know his name, and Nathan and Shane Marsland went to the round of 32 in the fours,
which was
a good effort.
Yeah.
And our good friend, our valid listener, Brett Rowland, he got through a couple knockouts. I think one was a forfeit because they got, I don't know whether it was a heat or what it was. But and then his next one, he was up quite well, 2016, and he dropped the four. And then the guy, he was telling me, drew him two on. He couldn't get rid of him, so he went down by one or two.
Oh.
So Brett done very well too. So
very good effort.
Yep. Okay, getting on to Saturday's bowls. Saturday was back again now with the Country Carnival just about done. Tanunda played Kapunda at Tanunda. Tanunda 61 got beaten by a very strong Kapunda side. I think they had just about their full side, other than Ian Greenshields was out.
Right.
129. Cat Green's rank, which Cat, very strong rank of Peter Luquette.
Yeah. Oh, the great Pete.
Yep. 9-34 they won. They beat Neil Stewart.
Whew.
And Neil happens to be in the final of the men's single at Tanunda in the next week or so too, which I've researched.
Oh.
I've gone into this very...
There's no stopping you these days, is there?
Yeah. I'm just like a podcast specialist now.
Game on.
Okay, Yidunda played Freeling, which you would have thought Yidunda would win.
You would.
And they did. 102-77. My old mate Aaron Jones, 42-11 on Rod Seen. Aaron had a little bit to say about that yesterday. He was pretty pumped with himself, so that was good. Lindock, where I was yesterday, Rick, and I'll bring that up in a minute. Lindock, 121, defeated Mount Pleasant, 80. Sean Mahoney. Officer Mahoney.
Yes.
They tell me I've been saying Marnie, which I've always called him Marnie, but Mahoney. 42-19 over my ex-neighbour Brendan Tahini. So it's a good win to Sean and his rink. Newry in a very tight loss to Angaston, 82-85.
Oh, that would have been the upset of the year, wouldn't it?
It would have been certainly an upset. Brenton Brown from Newry was the biggest winning skip in the losing side. He beat Brian Bowden, 25-17. And just a quick mention, Rick, while I'm on that game, young Lockie Fuss, second game skipping as we talked to him. He had got a bit of a spanking last week. Well, he's come back this week. One shot up over our another valued listener, Matty Short, by one shot. So Shorty doesn't lose too many, so it's a good win by Fussy. Well done. There was no midweek for us last week, Rick.
No.
So we go off to West Lakes Wednesday. Yesterday, Rick, as I was, sweating it out there, 41 degrees at Lindock Bowling Club.
So they don't have a hot weather policy at Lindock.
It wasn't 41 when we were out there. We started at like 9:30 in the morning and we were finished by just about lunchtime. They didn't we cut the day short. They cut the day short, which was a good good thing.
Great sensibility ruled the day.
Absolutely. So the tournament winner for the day was Lobethal, a team from Lobethal. They won the day. The runners-up were from Lindock and a bit of a mixed bag there. Lindock and Yedunda, which was Aaron Jones, the lad I talked about just before.
Yes.
We came third, Rick, by 1 point. So, yeah, so it was a good...
it's a fair effort.
Yep, yep. So it was good. Good day. Very hot day. Yeah. But I must thank Darren Green and his caterers and everything down at the Lindock Bowling Club. Very well organised, very well set up.
Obviously far better than Angaston, where our meal still is.
So, yeah, so it was a good day there. This week, Rick, quickly, I'll just mention, off to the state pairs. So Sunday, hopefully it's not 41. Big day at Semaphore playing a state pairs with Eric
Breeze.
Monty. Quality bowler from the Ponan Bowling Club. Teaming up with him this year as my other partner, Paul Urinjek's out injured. So Eric's asked me to play, so... That's about all on the bowls situation, Rick.
Oh, that's a very competent resume.
Just quickly finishing on a bit of local footy news. The timekeeper from not Kapunda, but Toonunda. Tenunda. My old hometown.
Yes.
Ray Giersch has passed away Saturday week ago.
Oh.
So, I mean, I think he timekept for 40-odd years or something. It was just... Unbelievable, the little timekeeper's box is named after him. He's just a total legend of the Toonunda footy
and
club.
And he was always so lovely and friendly when I was covering
great
games.
Bloke. Yeah, really great bloke. Yeah. And,
he wouldn't have been young.
No, he was in his 90s, right. Played a bit of footy at Kapunda and then finished at Toonunda and moved to Toonunda. Oh. And, so
may he rest in peace.
Absolutely, a top guy he was. Yeah. So that's about it for me, Rick.
Oh, very.
Let's get on to some cricket news.
Well, what about the Test match, Phil? Absolutely incredible. I don't know what you thought of it, but it was a great ray of sunshine that was needed, I think. Not because Test cricket is in its dying stages or anything. I just think that it was time that a new hero...
Yep.
Sort of came upon the scene, and I'm not knocking any of the great players that are around at the time, but most of them have literally been around for a long time, and it's almost that we have been taking them for granted. And for those good listeners who don't know or follow cricket closely, the West Indies, seven players short of their full strength side, were on a hiding to nothing, as it were, particularly after they got absolutely smashed in Adelaide. And they go to Brisbane for the second and final test. And Shamar Joseph, 24-year-old, basically wins and beats the great Australian cricket team. I'm getting fatigued by saying that we're the best cricket team in the world. We did actually win the World Cup. Now, you can't argue with that. But in fact, for instance, and we did beat India in that final of the World Cup, but that was a one game. The last two series that India have travelled to Australia and played, India have won both of them. So I'm not sure why the media wishes to push us as the undisputed best cricket team in the world. However, Shamar Joseph has... not only perform, bear in mind this guy was less than 2 years ago in a little town, two days boat trip from the nearest bigger town, was practicing playing cricket bowling with lemons, limes and guavas, and he's just wrist-old the Australians taking seven for. I mean, in the first test, first ball ever in test cricket for him, came in from the northern end of Adelaide Oval and knocks over Steve Smith first ball. Now, just to make things even better in the fairy tale rise of this young man, apart from his background, he, the night before, has been smashed on the toe, had to retire hurt with what they thought was a broken toe. You could see the blood and everything coming out of it. It actually proved that it wasn't broken. But arrived at the ground, not even with his whites, because he wasn't going to play. And his captain, Braithwaite, sort of said, listen, I think we need you out there.
Darryl Braithwaite.
How's horses. That? How's that?
Oh, yeah. Rode in on a horse.
That's right. Anyway, so one of the staff madly go back to the hotel room, get his whites. Out he goes, gives him the ball. Basically, 11 overs later, not only has he taken 7 for and won the game for the West Indies, but during it, and this is the bit that I love, and, you know, it is a bit emotional, but nevertheless, it's true. He looked at his captain. You know, bear in mind that the Australians the day before, sure, it was a bit more humid than it was on that last day, but they were bowling in 3-over spells. You know, our great, the greatest fast bowling attack in the world. Oldest. Have I heard that a few? Oldest and greatest. They bowled them in 3-over spells because of the heat and the humidity. I will admit, as I've just said, it wasn't as bad on the last day, but it still wasn't, you know, like today at 20-odd degrees. He's looked at his captain and said, I will not stop bowling until they're all out. And he's bowled basically 11 point whatever overs on the trot, right, at 140 Ks per hour, basically every ball. And, you know, the Aussies do it in 3-over spells. Now, if that's not a... And what's more, in his first innings ever in the previous test in Adelaide, he came out and batting at number 11, I think
yeah,
it was.
He made it.
He made runs. 37 in 31 balls. So his future is bright.
In India. Playing 2020.
This is even
$4 million a year. He'll be bowling golden lemons back home.
He may well be, Phil, but guess what? He's got a heart for the West Indies because, you know what, when it was suggested to him that his future was set, and in actual fact, I think if he's not already there, he's on his way to Pakistan to play in a T20 comp.
Yeah, it's the start of it.
He said, no matter how much money, how many offers, how many competitions, when the West Indies are playing Test cricket, I will be available.
Until they offer him $5 million, and then he'll be in India playing, 2020.
Philip, that is
true. Money speaks all languages.
Oh no, not when your heart's in the West Indies.
Really?
Now, but what about Steve Smith's incredible performance, Phil?
Oh, he's unbelievable, isn't he? 91. He carried his bat.
The bat. It was easy. You know why?
Why? What do you mean easy? 91, not out.
He stood at the non-striker's end for most of it.
Why is everybody else getting out?
Yes.
Hiding his wicket.
Honestly,
his wicket.
I made comment while actually watching it. I said, is he still on the ground? At one stage, I'm sure this is technically correct. At one stage during the commentary, one of the commentators made a statement that there's just been 10 overs bowled. That's 60-odd balls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Smith had faced 20 of them. And he's meant to be the number one batsman in the side. What? Perhaps he hasn't heard of farming the strike concept.
I saw him walk off at one stage and get a hot dog. He's that bored.
I'll make a statement now. He was more interested in looking after Steve Smith, number one image, than he was in Australia winning.
No way. Oh, come on.
That was one of the poorest, most...
You wouldn't call him selfish, would you?
Yes, I would. I mean, that was... I reckon the whole concept of Smith was that he wanted to be carry his bat, not out. Because the joke is that if he'd farmed the strike, assuming he didn't get out... when he should have, not when Hazelwood walked in, but when, you know, just after Carey got out or somebody, if he started to use his brains and farm the strike and think of Australian victory, he would have got 100 anyway.
Yeah.
But he stood at the non-striker's end applauding Sharma. Oh. But there's... And now, what about the good old Aussies? Well, I mean, they've got... Cricket Australia have got this all well and truly... managed, haven't they? Travi.
He's playing in the 50-over games now.
No, he's not. No.
Hey?
No. He's been removed from the squad. True. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you know why?
No.
the Cricket Australia have released it's due to workload management.
Come on, Rick. You've got the scores in front of you now,
workload
I know.
Workload management. Yep. I mean, no wonder. I mean, that's a very smart move on Cricket Australia to do that.
Running fresh.
I mean, well, fresh. I mean, you know, 17-0, 10, 119 of
that's
which,
kept him in the side.
Of which he was actually out when he was 34, I think it was, if DRS had been listened to. So he's gone 17-0, 10, 119, 0-0, 4, and he's so exhausted, he's out with workload management. Well, I ask you, eh?
Oh.
He would be exhausted, wouldn't he?
Oh,
go
Rick.
On, say something.
No, I can't.
But what makes
he needed a rest? What was the average there?
Well, of course, he's rescued 119, because of 119 average of 22. I mean, you know, one day cricket workload management. But what makes it even more hypocritical on the part of Cricket Australia is that there's a bloke who's been rested for workload management. The Australians, you know, on the day before the final day of the Test match, are bowling in three over spells because they're all exhausted.
Yep.
So who do they bring in for the second ODI? Hazelwood.
What? A bowler that's been...
work that out.
Oh, he's about 33, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but his workload management means play more.
How does it go with their contracts? Oh. You know, just sitting back, you know.
Absolutely incredible. Oh. Now, we are speeding on. There's so much in the cricket world, Phil. It's just amazing. Anyway, what about this young fellow from Sandy Creek, Ethan Morrow?
Yep. Don't know him, but I did see the story on
Good
Facebook.
Good night, nurse. Just imagine, just scored the lazy 317 not out in the one-day fixture versus Freeling at the Great Williamstown Oval.
Yep.
Right? And he scored those 317 not out from the odd 149 balls. He's hit 15 fours, which becomes insignificant considering the 34 sixes at a strike rate of 212. Now, you've got something to say about the sixes.
I have. I was talking to a father of one of the players, not of that team, of Sandy Creek, and apparently there's a creek that runs straight along the side of the Williamstown Oval.
There is indeed, yes.
They lost that many balls, they had to borrow some balls from the Sandy Creek club. Keep the game going. Yeah. He knocked so many balls in that creek. I mean, there's probably a bit of water in it, but even still, they couldn't find them down there, or snakes.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Well, that's...
I might go down there this week and grab a couple of cricket balls.
I tell you what, speaking of that, and we've got better things to talk about, you know they're not cheap, cricket balls.
No. What's a cricket ball worth?
Oh, somewhere between $70 and $90.
Really?
And they do not last.
Now, quickly, Rick, yes. Before we go off of cricket...
Yes.
I was just looking in the Sunday Mail here.
Yes.
The under-19s.
What have you found?
Saka under-19s.
Yep, that's in the second division.
Defeated Prospect.
What?
Defeated Prospect, 294 to 245. But one name in the Prospect side.
Yes.
Oharms, Oscar.
Oscar. He's
nine overs, one for 28. One maiden, one for 28.
Yes, and what did he do with the bat?
With the bat, carried the bat for 14.
14?
Got stumped. God. Come on, Chris. You've got to get him back in his crease.
Well, I was going to say, that would be about his third club, wouldn't it?
They reckon he was using the Harms ball.
Oh.
That's where he got his wicket.
There you go.
He's picking the seam. Quickly, one more thing before you get onto your joke, because we are running out of time.
Yes.
I see Joe Gauchy, the Adelaide United... you look worried when I mention that name. You don't know Joe Gauchy.
Oh, all over it.
Adelaide United keeper, number one keeper for soccer.
Yes.
With the Australian squad, reserve keeper there, played a couple games. Off to Aston Villa, multi-million-dollar contract over there. So that's the end of Joe. He's off to England to play with Aston Villa.
Yeah, and there's not too much going well. They got beaten 4-0 yesterday.
4-0 at home.
At home.
Yeah.
3-0 down at half time.
Oh, it was Saturday night, I think it was.
I think they...
They've gone to eighth position. So It's a funny game, isn't it?
I think they're a bit like the Port Adelaide Football Club. They could do with a new coach as
well. No, I like Viet. He's a good good coach.
Is he?
Don't get rid of him. And you can understand him. He speaks English.
Oh, come on. Anyway, speaking of coaches, you know, a coach has many different roles, but above all, he's got to be a bit of a diplomat, particularly when it comes to having to drop a former great player.
Oh.
"Well, Dean," he said, "I don't know how on earth we'll manage without you, but as from next week, we're going to have to try."
Don't I know all about that, Rick?
I won't
go into it, but I do know all about that.
Do you?
I don't know about former great player, but I know about getting dropped. Boom, boom.
So are you going to play for Prospect?
Oh, geez. Been a while since I've played cricket, but there's always a chance.
Haven't they got a bowling club out there? All right, team. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. It's been a bit of fun. Until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.